The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A Denver man is one of the three Americans who were among the 290 people killed in a series of terrorist bombings yesterday in Sri Lanka. 40-year-old Dieter Kowalski was staying at one of the hotels that was struck. He was on a business trip at the time.
Our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts are with the people.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the U.S. stands ready to help in the investigation.
The United States stands ready to help in anything that we can do and look forward to helping bring these individuals that are responsible to justice.
Around a dozen people have been detained by authorities in connection with the blasts. Three-term Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, joining a long list of Democrats running for the White House, he's now the 19th. The 40-year-old Moulton is a Marine combat vet who was awarded a Bronze Star for his service in Iraq. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Flip your space with a beautiful new floor from Lumber Liquidators. This week, get easy-to-install laminate in best-selling styles like Tobacco Road Acacia and Antique Farmhouse Hickory 20% off. Or get the exotic look of Silverstone Bamboo for 20% off. Don't want a DIY? We can arrange the installation for you. Plus, get special financing so you can get started today. Sale ends Tuesday at Lumber Liquidators. Beautiful floors for less.
A bizarre incident on Easter morning has a woman now facing charges in San Diego. Worshippers say she walked into a church during Easter services holding a baby and a gun and threatened to blow up the building. Members of the non-denominational church tackled the woman and grabbed the baby. The baby and another child of the woman's are now in state custody. A report in the New York Times says shoddy production is potentially threatening the safety of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner. But this morning, Boeing is rejecting those allegations made by several current and former employees, including John Barrett, who's a retired quality inspector. He raised concerns over several problems, including metal shavings found inside the planes.
Because over time, these metal shavings are going to migrate down into these boxes or into the electrical connectors, start fire.
He spoke to NBC News, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Several brands of bottled water are reportedly contaminated with arsenic. According to Consumer Reports, the worst offenders are Whole Foods-owned Starkey and Peñafiel, which is owned by Keurig Dr. Pepper and imported from Mexico. Consumer Reports says its tests found that samples of Peñafiel had arsenic levels well above the federal allowable limit. Tests of Starkey water showed levels at or just below federal limits. Keurig Dr. Pepper says it has suspended bottled water production at its plant in Mexico and will revamp the filtration process that is used at that facility. SpaceX's timetable to get humans back into space may have to change a bit after what it calls an anomaly. Engine problems were reported during a test over the weekend at Cape Canaveral. Plumes of orange smoke were seen for miles. SpaceX was planning to fly astronauts to the International Space Station in just a few months, but it's not clear if the company can maintain that timeline now. Today is Earth Day, the anniversary of the birth of the environmental movement, as Earth Day looks to inspire new ideas and bring people to action when it comes to the environment and protecting it. You can find us online at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on 100 Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
All right, our local weather here at Flemington and the surrounding area today. Slight chance of showers this afternoon. Temperature outside is around 62 right now. Highs will reach upper 60s today. Tonight, patchy fog after 2 a.m. Into the morning. Otherwise, sunny, high near 77 on Tuesday. Tuesday night, again, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Lows will be in the 50s. Chance of showers on Wednesday in the morning, clearing up, hopefully, a high near 70. Get some sunshine there. Clear on the overnight Wednesday, low in the 40s. Thursday, sunny, high near 70. And again, Thursday night, chance of showers in the evening. And into Friday, possible thunderstorms. Rain continuing on into Friday, slight chance. Lows will be in the 40s, but clearing up for the weekend. Sunday and Saturday and Sunday, highs will be in the 60s. And low in the 40s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table at WHCRDB here in Flemington. Getting together every Monday, or whenever you choose to listen, to talk about mostly food, sometimes beverages. Now, what are we looking at? Oh, now Easter is over. Looking forward down the road. Let's see what's on the horizon. Mother's Day, nice. Next big food celebration, of course, college graduations will begin early May and then into June with the K through 12. And then we're into summer. So when they, as they like to say in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, it's the start of grilling season. It's when all the producers of proteins like to get ready for the time when hopefully people start gathering, especially on weekends or whenever your weekend is. My weekend Happens to be Monday and Tuesday. Most people are Saturday and Sunday, but whenever you decide to get together, break out the grill, right? April happens to be National Picnic Month, although I think it might be even in July. There's another month, too, that gets... There's celebrations all the time. Every day there's a different kind of food, and months are dedicated to food and certain aspects of food. Barbecue in July, I think. Picnic, grilling. But we tend to move outdoors in the nice weather. Here in the Northeast, well, we do need some of the rain now. We're looking for some nice clear times to enjoy eating outside. A picnic, of course, could be any kind. Doesn't have to be necessarily cooking outside. We just kind of put things together in al fresco dining, I guess you can call it. And that can run the gamut of everything. But mainly, a lot of times you think of a picnic as foods that are already done ahead, and then we just go find a nice, comfortable place, sit outside, instead of being cooped up in the house, right? Especially now, before it gets too hot in the summer, sometimes that afternoon sun can be a little intimidating. My favorite time, of course, is when the sun starts to back off a little bit in the evening. So, grilling season. So, what do we mean, grilling? Many people now have gas grills. And there's all kinds of sizes. There's some people that can afford it have almost full kitchens outside in their backyard. Whether they have a pool out there or not, I've been to friends and colleagues, and you know, if you have that kind of schedule and like to enjoy your weekends, it's almost, instead of having to escape and go away, you can make your own kind of little resort at home. But grilling, barbecue, American tradition, although most every culture, of course, once fire was discovered, then there was a way to cook the food, right? Instead of eating raw food. And American tradition, a lot of the barbecues early on, big gatherings, a lot of them were for political reasons. Big parties thrown by the powers that be, and there would be, of course, dig a big pit and cook some whole beasts there, and there probably was a lot of alcohol flowing, a lot of speeches and toasts and things like that. But it was a kind of an equalizer because the whole community could be involved. And even whether it was the laborers, the workers, the farmhands, all the way up to, it cuts across all economic lines. And I think when you see successful barbecue restaurants, some of my favorites, it's the same way, the demographic. It's not really targeted at one group of people. Everybody kind of gets together and shares. Cooking's done outside, and say it's communal tables, and it's just a chance to relax. We're going to look at the difference between, obviously, barbecue and grilling, but a few tips to get started for the season, if you're prone to do that. I know my favorite would be the live fire, always cooked that way. The gas grills kind of, they're convenient, and it's kind of like moving your kitchen outside, which is nice in the summer. But some places, I know where we live, they frown on the LP gas tanks hanging around. There is a certain safety hazard. I know people have had leaks in the lines and, you know, fire start, things like that, and you really don't want that to happen. The live fire is pretty nice. It's contained. And really, when you're cooking out like that, you don't really have a flame. Once the charcoal or the hardwood is started and burned down, there's no real flame. It's all radiant heat. But we'll get into that. We've got a break for a couple of messages. I know we had a little late start today, so we'll jump right in after these words from sponsors. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's Table here. So, grilling season. So, the weather dependent, obviously. Nice thing about gas grills, of course, or well, even small grills, is that you can set them up under a tent, or you can, if you have a garage, just at the end of the garage there with the door open, of course, let the smoke waft out and kind of stay out of the weather. Cool weather. With a hot fire like that, you don't have to worry about. I like charcoal also, or hardwood, because when it's windy, sometimes the gas flame, the wind kind of blows the heat away. Now, I know the on your gas grills, of course, you're heating up briquettes, and you do get some radiant heat, but it seems in the wind sometimes it is a little bit, a little temperature drop there, whereas the that nice radiant heat from hardwood or charcoal, the wind doesn't really seem to affect it as much. Now, we used to build pits up in Lake Placid. We would do the outdoor, usually chicken or beef, mostly chicken, half chicken. That was the big thing up there. You see them in firemen's field days and all kinds of areas, flipping the chickens on the big grates, or some places have the automatic ones, the rotisseries, the revolving the chickens will be on skewers or on big grills. Two of them kind of lash together, so it holds the chicken there. We also would do beef. That required a little timing, you know, a little bigger cuts there, a little bit slower fire. But the idea was not, you get a kind of a smoke taste from whatever you're burning, but it's not like a closed pit barbecue where you really have that kind of a hot smoke with indirect heat. So that's really the big difference. When you're barbecuing, normally the saying is low and slow, indirect heat, and the smoke permeates the flavor of the food. And the closed pit, of course, you've got kind of contains some of the moisture. You do get a little bit of convection there, meaning the air moving through, but you're cooking kind of from all sides. And there's commercial smokers out there that kind of simulate that. They're all insulated and don't need a lot of smoke. The smoke kind of stays in there. But that smoke flavor, cold smoking, was a way of preservation where you would brine food or salt it and then cold smoke it at a very low temperature to preserve it. Think of cured salmon, hams, and things like that. Now we don't need to really do it for preservation anymore. We have refrigeration, so the smoke is that kind of that nice, desirable flavor. But you could still grill. You could still have what we call even a cookout, which is kind of the catch-all for our American tradition now, because sometimes it's just simply hot dogs and burgers, you know, or chicken breasts, things like that, kebabs, quick cooking meals. I like setting up that fire. It takes about 45 minutes for a good coals to form. And the briquettes, of course, are, some people say, well, they got chemical in them and this and that. I guess you just don't get the ones that are pre-soaked self-starting ones. Lighting the fire, of course, is everybody has their tricks, whether it's crumpled newspaper. I know growing up we had an electric starter, which was just an electric coil that went underneath the coals, and that's probably the safest one. And you can pile some of the briquettes on there, and that does a nice job. Lighter fluid or fire starter, things like that are fine. Only because once the coals get down to kind of a gray ash, here's where we used to spritz the pit with water. Now, if it's a small pit at home, of course, a little bottle of water with a spray trigger on it there will do the job. And we did commercial big pits we used to build up in Lake Placid. We would have usually a hose there or a big bucket of water. And what would happen is once that ash would form, we would make sure, of course, all your food and things are upwind from the fire and simply splash it with water. You're not going to put the fire out. That charcoal is going to keep burning. But it kind of sends all that ash up into the air. So it used to be pretty important where we placed the pit. We would build it with metal sides, and then there were the grills that went over top. We'd always kind of test the direction of the wind. We would simply break the bags of charcoal in there, leave the paper because that would help start the fire. And actually, we would use even gasoline sometimes, and that's a little tricky. You'd pour some gasoline there, and you have to kind of look and wait for the. You'll see little wavy the fumes coming off. Of course, with gasoline, the danger is always the fumes. So you'd wait a few minutes where you didn't see that little wavy air anymore, and then simply throw a match in there, and you'd get a little, you know, a slight boom there, but nothing, it wasn't an explosion, but everything would light at once, and then you simply wait about 45 minutes. Now, this is when you can get your materials and things ready. And even with a gas grill, you need to preheat it. Some of them, depending on how strong they are, the BTUs, heat up faster than others, but basically you're preparing nice radiant heat. Now, depending on, of course, with the gas grill, you've got your temperature controls, and with the pit, of course, you've got simply the height of what you're grilling. toning the fire down a little bit. Right when we started, if we would throw the product on, not throw, but, you know, put the grills on there. So say it was chicken, the fat starts dripping, get a little bit of flare up. We would take the product off and cool the fire down again. Again, you're not going to put it out. A little spritzing would help just to tame the fire. That's your temperature control. One of the better ones for home, of course, the kettles are nice, and you can get them that are set up for smoking. There's some that have a little water bath in the bottom to give you kind of some moisture in there. You're looking for one with an adjustable shelf. You can place charcoal either in one spot on there or around the edges if you want some indirect heat. I've done smoking in there. You want a thermometer in there so you keep your temperature between 180 and 220 degrees. You want that very slow cooking for large cuts. If you want a grill, on the other hand, then you'll use a fairly hot fire. If you get a little bit of a flare-up, this is why when we're setting up our station, we always like a couple of tables nearby. One, of course, for your food product, and then another table, kind of a landing spot for your cooked product. You don't want to have to keep moving things around. So for me, setting up, of course, make sure the grates are clean. And whatever fire you choose to use or whatever fuel source, your fire is nice and hot, but you need a good brush. You want to keep your grill surfaces clean. I know they have these pads now that you can put on there that will give you the grill marks without the food sticking, but to me that's like using a cast iron grill pan in the house. You're not getting that benefit, that little bit of dripping, the flare up there. You want the, especially with the charcoal or the wood fire, you want that light smoke flavor. And hickory and oak, I like to use those. I like a little heavier smoke flavor. Applewood seems to be the big rage now with bacon, but that's a very mild smoke flavor. I like that the hickory, the stronger one. So you have good tongs, you know, good knives for carving, a fork, and definitely an instant read thermometer to check your product, basting brushes, seasonings, of course, run the gamut from simple salt and pepper up to your own concoction or your favorite, what we call dry rubs. These are seasonings the rubs oftentimes will put on the meats before grilling. Let them soak into the product a little bit. If you're doing steaks or chicken or anything like that, or larger cuts of meat, you do the rub down, and or ribs. The best when they sit for a little while and let the spices soak in there. You always hear talk of the smoke ring that the barbecue aficionados claim is that sense or that sign that you used real barbecue, meaning low and slow. That technique, and what actually that happens when you're slow cooking anything, and you keep the surface of it, of the food, a little bit cooler, you'll have that pink start to form. I've seen it on poultry, I've seen it on pork, the white meats you can really tell. I mean, I've had even a turkey breast, I've done at the restaurant, a slow cook, and after a certain amount of times in the hold, you will get that little bit of pink tinge on the outside of it. Now, obviously, the meat's cooked, it's safe, but sometimes barbecue places will warn you, if you see the little pink, don't worry about it. It's not that the food is underdone, it's called the smoke ring, but it's less to do with smoke than with the time and temperature of long, slow cooking. When we're basting foods, especially larger ones, larger roasts, the mop, another important thing. If you're basting, either use your marinade or something more vinegar or water-based. You don't want to put sugar on to the food until the last, what we call the last turn. And a lot of sauces now have, obviously, some sugar component in there, whether it's ketchup or chili sauce or brown sugar, honey. You want that at the end for that little bit of caramelization, but certainly not if you have sauce in the beginning. Once the food gets charred, it's not you still have to cook it. It's just going to get more charred and more charred. And actually, that sauce can act as kind of an insulator where the food doesn't cook as fast. We're going to break for news, and then we'll go through just a couple of ideas for some of the products you can use on your grilling / barbecue. Chef Bill's Table. When you put me on the Wolverine up to Annandale,
it was still September. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A Denver man is one of the three Americans who were among the 290 people killed in a series of terrorist bombings yesterday in Sri Lanka. 40-year-old Dieter Kowalski was staying at one of the hotels that was struck. He was on a business trip at the time.
Our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts are with the people.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the U.S. stands ready to help in the investigation.
The United States stands ready to help in anything that we can do and look forward to helping bring these individuals that are responsible to justice.
Around a dozen people have been detained by authorities in connection with the blasts. Three-term Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, joining a long list of Democrats running for the White House, he's now the 19th. The 40-year-old Moulton is a Marine combat vet who was awarded a Bronze Star for his service in Iraq. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Chef Bill's Table here. So, yeah, good habits when you're grilling or barbecuing. Obviously, when you're using marinades, if you have product, a marinade that's had raw product in it, if you're going to use it for basting cooked food, you should heat it first. Or what I do is sometimes we'll make a little extra marinade and use some as a basting sauce and not use the, you don't want to put raw and cooked product and raw product together with the same brush. You don't want to baste cooked food with marinade that's had raw product in it. Just kind of be safe. So favorites, so vegetables. Everybody thinks, of course, of proteins, meats, pork, ribs, and beef, and all that. But vegetables do very well on the grill. We offer them at the restaurant instead of a crudité platter. Grilled vegetable platters are always nice. You could do them first if you like, if you could want to serve them beforehand, or after your proteins are done and the fire is tamed down. You actually don't need a real hot fire for this. Any fruits or vegetables you're doing could be done after you've done the main event. Let the proteins rest and then clean the grill, and then you could do your veggies. Obvious ones that work well, of course, asparagus, portobello mushrooms are nice, kind of any kind of squashes all work. Peppers, onions, cauliflower does well. And what we like to do is cook them in larger pieces. And I know you see these baskets that can fit over the grill for small vegetables. What we'll do is say the zucchini, we'll cut them in lengthwise into big, long, thick sticks. The mushrooms we'll do whole. Peppers, maybe just cut them in halves or quarters. Onions are a little bit tricky. What I've done with nice slices of onion, actually, with especially white onion, is make a thick slice of onion and put a skewer through it because, of course, the rings are going to separate. You want something kind of hold the onions together. Or do thick slices, and then, of course, there's a little more flipping and turning there. You want to make sure that the pieces are big enough so they don't fall through the grate. But your vegetables, again, you don't need a real hot fire. You want to get them about halfway cooked. You want them soft on the outside. You still want a little bit of texture. And when they're done is when we hit it with some whatever dressing I'm going to use. So our favorite, of course, either an herb vinaigrette or a balsamic vinaigrette. Drizzle that over the warm vegetables. They're friendly then. They'll accept that dressing very nicely. And then you could trim or cut the vegetables into serving-sized pieces. So you're going to taste the, of course, you've got cooked. You've got a little bit less cooked, some dressing on the outside. And these are best served at room temperature. They don't have to be piping hot, another advantage of these. One time I did potatoes, kind of comes out like a baked French fry. I took russet potatoes, same one you would use for French fries. You can peel them or not, at least wash them. But I would cut them lengthwise into thick slabs and brush them with oil, season with salt. You could use pepper if you like, but pepper would be best more toward the end. But start them on the grill, and again, not a real hot fire. And you need to turn them several times and brush them with the oil. So you're kind of like frying them because you're putting the oil on the surface. And be patient with them, but they will turn a nice golden brown. Again, you can always with any foods, remember, if you need to brown, you can do it easily at the end. If you over-brown the food too early and you still have to cook it more, then you end up burning. But these nice planks, I guess we'd call them, or slabs, they're pretty good. You can use any kind of sweet potatoes if you like, but the grilled potatoes, nice slices like that, or the small B-sized potatoes kind of rolling around on the grill, you can roast those. In our big barbecues, we would actually build a line of charcoal just right on some stone, crushed stone, just line the charcoal up and light it, and once it was calmed down, we would use foil-wrapped potatoes and bake them right on the coals. If you're doing that, when you wrap the potatoes, you're kind of steaming them inside the foil, but they do pick up a little bit of that smoke flavor from the wood. You make sure there's a good seam when you seal up the potatoes with foil, and you would put that seam side down so it kind of keeps the, you might get, you know, you get a little brown crust on the bottom there, but sometimes that's good too, but it'll steam the potato right through. And it's surprising, just about the same time as in an oven, you're cooking it right through, right on the coal. But that would be our technique for doing baked potatoes for a crowd. Now, meats, of course, pork seems to be king. And, of course, in America, that was usually the protein of choice for the big old barbecues. Started in Virginia. Kind of work the way around. You can read up upon the different regional styles and different meats that are used. Of course, Texas was always bigger on beef, but I think the whole pig was easy because they grew quickly and a little bit easier to handle than the cow. Of course, Argentina does the whole beast down there. They're famous for their beef cooked outside, big old roast there. But with pork, people like ribs. You've got your choice of spare ribs or baby back ribs. The back ribs from the loin will cook a little bit quicker, a little smaller, a little leaner, also more expensive. Spare ribs are good. The St. Louis cut is the favorite, where they're kind of squared off and nice and even. Those would take a little longer. Some people like to par cook them before they put them on, but really this is when you need the low and slow fire. Those things take a couple, 3 hours, where the baby back ribs would cook quicker. One of my favorites was called country ribs, which are from the rib end of the pork loin. Not really a rib per se. They're more of a, where the eye of the loin kind of flattens out, take off the blade, and it looks like a real fatty pork chop. These lend themselves very well to grilling. You don't need that long, slow cooking. I used to serve them in my restaurant way back years ago. I would actually roast them whole. You can get pieces of usually, you know, three or four ribs, and then slice them and finish them, barbecue them. At Jake's and I, when we opened, we used to get the country ribs. We would do those first in a slow cooker and then finish them on the grill. And advantages, not as much bone, a little bit more meat. Of course, the fat cooks out a little bit. Very tender, very tasty. The other option, of course, is your shoulder, the pork butt, which is not the leg. It's actually the front. And again, this is where, again, indirect heat, low and slow, a few hours to do your pulled pork or chopped pork. Quick product with pork would be the tenderloin, which lends itself very well to butterflying, cooking quickly and then slicing, or making cubes for a kebab. And speaking of kebabs, there's a when I was talking about grilling vegetables, another way to do vegetables would be, of course, on skewers. And talking, of course, about skewers, great way to cook shrimp or scallops, any kind of small item like that, boneless chicken thigh cubes. Beef skewers are nice, except, again, you need something very tender, because if it does happen to cook a little bit too much, then you don't want it to be tough and chewy. When I'm doing vegetable kebabs, doing kebabs or shish kebabs or skewers, one of my preferred ways is to make vegetable ones and then make protein ones separately. Don't have the vegetables and proteins mixed in case somebody, you know, just wants vegetables. Or what I find happens is oftentimes the one product cooks before the other. I mean, it's nice to get the flavor and things like that, but sometimes for your timing, especially if you're doing a crowd, it might be better to skewer your proteins and your vegetables separately. Skewers, metal ones are handy because you can reuse them, but what happens, the metal ones, the metal heats up, kind of cooks product from the inside out, and that's not too bad, but if it's a round skewer, the product kind of spins around, and it's hard to flip it. If I was using a metal skewer, it would be a flat skewer instead of round, so you don't get that turning motion. Wood is still very good. Of course, you soak the wood in water to make sure it doesn't burn up. But also, when I'm skewering, I will use a pair of skewers instead of just one. And this really gives you control over being able to turn and handle the food. And especially if you're loading it up with product there, it's a little more strength. But two skewers side by side, threading the product onto both of them at once really does make sense. It's a little tricky on the technique, but it's well worth it for handling later. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll continue on with grilling cookout, American stuff.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's Table here at WHCRDB. So, veggies and also fruits for dessert. Again, when the fire has calmed down a little bit, especially if the fruit's not quite so ripe, nice to put them briefly on the grill and serve them with a nice honeyed yogurt or your choice of dessert sauce, right? If you need to say if they're a little bit less than ripe, then kind of brings out the sugar, gets rid of some of the moisture in the fruit, and make sure that, of course, not so small. It would be hard to grill grapes, but slices of melon, stone fruit, later on in the season, these fruits lend themselves very well to grilling. Now, beef, of course, with traditional barbecue, brisket is the king. Long, slow, 10, 12 hours. If you have that kind of time, by all means, go for it. It's well worth it. The thing with the brisket is there's a lot of fat in there, but and it's kind of chewy. But that long, slow cooking kind of melts some of the fat, although with brisket, some of the fat does stay in there, which keeps it nice and tender. But all that toughness goes away. The other one, we used to do rounds, which lean cuts of meat. I don't like them for London broil at the store, so there's slabs like that, but a piece of top round or even eye round, kind of like a Baltimore style, like pit beef. And again, you need to turn the product. It's kind of like roasting, you know, not real hot fire, but you cook them till they're medium rare. Again, use your thermometer to check. Let them rest and then slice them very thin. Now, of course, in Baltimore, they'll take those thin slices and flash them back on the grill, pick up that smoke flavor. But certainly a large piece lean, if you like it, you can do a slow cook. We used to do it, again, up in Lake Placid. We would use pieces of top and bottom round, cut them uniformly, You can tie them if you want. Use cotton string. We would do a little seasoning on them. Not really a sauce, but mustard works well. Or just simple salt and pepper and let the smoke do its thing. Alternately, you know, when I'm cooking for my family, we'll do steaks. And if I'm doing steaks, I like to cut them thick and then sliced, especially for a crowd. Not every each person does not get an individual steak, but if you're using a strip steak or the shell steak, ribeyes, bone-in or boneless, make sure they're thick. Porterhouses, T-bones, always nice. The full sirloin is a little bit more economical, a pin bone full sirloin. And oftentimes they'll be on sale. Now you say, all right, I'm paying for some of the bone, but you will get the best part. It's just the muscle just beyond the shell. Sometimes there's a little bit of tenderloin in there, which makes a kind of a little, almost a, say, think of what a, where a porterhouse is with the loin and the tenderloin, then just beyond that, toward the end of the back, there is the full sirloin, I call them. And those are great for a crowd, too. You can get them. They're a few pounds. It is a steak. It's nice and tender. You can handle it a little bit better than a roast. Then, of course, your quick-cooking ones that we like, whether it's the flank or the skirt, those cuts have a nice uniform grain. You'll see it looks like lines that run the way the meat runs, and you always want to slice across the grain very thinly. And these, again, you can use marinades or rubs. They cook very quickly, let them rest, and then these are nice to serve with your tortillas or on sandwiches, on salads. The nice thing about barbecuing or grilling, you're seeing a kind of a resurgence in the restaurants now, because even though there's a, you know, you need a skilled labor force to do it, especially if you're cooking over the live fire, the pit master. But when the food, once it's cooked, it's simple to portion, and it needs to be finished on the grill and then served up. Makes great takeout food because it's not as temperature sensitive as, say, a rare beef roast or seafood, things like that. They're all well cooked. Nice and tender, don't have to be piping hot because there's so much flavor in there. And in fact, I like the product after it's cooled off a little bit. You get a lot more flavor from warm food than from piping hot food. But it's great for make-ahead. Say you're seeing more barbecue places seem to be cropping up. And barbecue, again, now is pretty much identified with sauces, more than with the fact, even the product you see across most places will do several different styles. They'll have the Memphis style, they'll have a St. Louis style, they'll have Texas, they'll have Carolina, and even North and South Carolina, different sauces. And really it's the sauces that are kind of drawing the lines of distinction. It's all kind of the same food, but the rubs and the sauces kind of differentiate, make the difference. So now, chicken, of course, our favorites were the half chicken. Takes a little time. We would cook them for close to an hour and a half, but we would start them slowly, and you would make sure that they're fully cooked. Obviously, half a 3-pound chicken does take a while, but well worth it. I know chicken breast is kind of difficult. Usually, you have to marinate that first. The thighs work the best on the grill or the barbecue. The dark meat, a lot more flavor, a little more fat in there. Skin on is nice. There's only one bone in the thigh. And the other thing, of course, everybody likes chicken wings, and nothing wrong with doing some good old smoked chicken wings. And you want to buy large wings for this. We like to keep them, the wings, whole. You don't need to cut them in the two little pieces there, it's a little easier to handle them when they're whole like that. And again, nice rub on them, or if you like a marinade, cook them slowly, and then you can always crisp them up at the end. I know charred wings up in central New York, we offer them at the restaurant. We'll actually fry the wings first and then use an Old Bay vinaigrette, kind of, I guess we'd call it. We use some vinegar, some oil, or butter, if you like, but Old Bay seasoning in there. If you get too many herbs on the grill, they can burn and get bitter. So we use more of the spices and different vinegars, different citrus juices. If you're doing fresh herbs, really, those are best either made into kind of a puree, like a pesto or a chimichurri, or sprinkled on afterwards, even if you're doing your vegetables. Fresh herbs would go on afterwards. But the other seasonings and spices, of course, work very well on the grill. Seafood, I mentioned shrimp and scallops, better on skewers. Shrimp's always a favorite. But striped bass, if you're in the Northeast, of course, that's really one of the premier fish to put on the grill. Salmon, hands down. I know at our restaurant, salmon's the favorite. And again, we'll do an Old Bay rub on that. And we'll use that, actually serve it with a Carolina sweet mustard type sauce. Great combination. But swordfish, tuna, any of those kind of seafoods. Tuna, of course, we like to keep rare. But swordfish, mahi-mahi, another very versatile fish, does great on the grill, especially if you're making fish, something as simple as fish tacos, or on a salad, or if you have a rice bowl, some other vegetables. Possibilities are endless. But whatever you're doing, light the fire, get outside, and do some grilling or some barbecuing, or just simply cooking out. Chef Bill signing off. We'll talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The White House grounds very busy today as about 30,000 people turned out for the 141st annual Easter egg roll on the White House lawn. President Trump and First Lady Melania welcoming the group and the president making some remarks.
And maybe most importantly, I want to wish everybody a very happy Easter. Our country is doing fantastically well, probably the best it's ever done economically. We're setting records on stock markets. We're setting records with jobs.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will be hosting a conference call with other top Democrats later today to discuss possibly impeaching President Trump. 8 people confirmed dead after what's now being called a powerful 6.1 magnitude earthquake rocks parts of the Philippines near the capital of Manila. It struck at 5:11 p.m. local time. This is USA Radio News.
Pros know doing it right means knowing where to find everything you need for the job in one stop, so you're spending more time on the job than away from it. Lowe's does it right by having what you need in stock and in the right quantities for any size job, like 250-foot and 1,000-foot rolls of Southwire Romex Simple 12-2 and 14-2 wire. Plus, get the electrical boxes, switches, dimmers, and conduit you need to complete the job. Load up today and every day. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Whoa!
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Numerous reports say this is the week that former Vice President Joe Biden will make a long-anticipated announcement that he's running for president. Massachusetts Congressman Democrat Seth Moulton.